Good morning. So before I begin, I'd just like to ask you all a question, and that is, how's your Bible reading going? That's good. Anything else? It is going, right? I mean, you heard a great message last week concerning the need to be in the Word, and I'm sure many of you have taken that encouragement and have put your noses in the book, right? That's good. We got one right. The rest of you are nodding your heads. Good. He talked about we're doing a series on spiritual disciplines, and this week we're going to talk about prayer. And I just want to remind you that spiritual disciplines are those personal and corporate disciplines that have a reason. They want to promote spiritual growth. You know, 2 Peter 3:18, I believe, says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us to stand still. And the reason we want to talk about these is because they're very important to our spiritual growth. 1 Timothy 4:7, the last part of the verse says, train yourself to be godly. And in the New American Standard, it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And the King James Version says, exercise yourself. Now, the word train, discipline, and exercise is the word in the Greek that we have taken, and we have the word gymnasium or gymnastics. So this disciplining is something that we need to work at. We need to put our mind and heart into it and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to train us, to discipline us, so that we might become the people that God's called us to be. Right? Amen. That's good. Now, three questions. I got this from a man named Chip Ingram. He's an author and a pastor. And the three questions are, what do you think about God? Someone asked you to give you a piece of paper and said, write down your description of God. It would be very interesting to see what we would write. What do we think about God? Question number two, what do you think God thinks about you? What do you think God thinks about you? And last of all is, how do these questions or perceptions affect your relationship with him? What do you think about God? And what do you think he thinks about you? And how does that might affect how you might pray or how you might, you know, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? You know, we need to think about that. And too often, I mean, I don't know how often you have ever thought about, well, who is God? I'm sure we don't. We have a preconceived, we have little thought in our mind as to this is who God is. Be it scriptural or not, we do act that way. And then we think about, well, what do we think about, how does God think about me? You know, especially after maybe you blow it, you do something you shouldn't have done, or you know, a thought ran through your mind that, ooh, hope no one saw that one, you know. You know, what does God think about you, you know? God created you and I, for closeness, love, and friendship. Are you experiencing that? His word is meant to disclose his deep and personal thoughts to you. And prayer is meant for you and I to disclose our deep and personal thoughts to him. Are we enjoying that kind of intimacy with God? Do you feel like you never measure up? That God is down on you or waiting for you to mess up so he can, gotcha, discipline you? Because a lot of people think that. Do you often find it hard to pray? Does the thought that you are the object of his utter delight seem foreign to you? That you, that I, are the object of his utter delight. Does that seem foreign? How do you feel when you hear that you are, this is from a little pamphlet here, that you are God's child, that you are a friend of Jesus, that you are justified, that you are united with Jesus, that you belong to God, that you're a member of Christ's body, that you are chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven. You are complete in Christ. You have direct access to God here and now. You are free from condemnation. You are hidden with Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. That is who we are. We are seated with Christ. We are his workmanship. We are a new creation. We are an heir of Christ. We are reconciled to God. We are a saint. We are slaves to righteousness. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are free from the curse of the law. We are sealed, accepted. We are dead to sin. We have hope. We have incredible worth. Is that how you see yourself? Yes. You know, but you know, we need to, these thoughts need to sink in our hearts and minds, because too often, you know, we don't see ourselves that way. We don't. We can condemn ourselves, we can jump down on ourselves, but God sees us vastly different, and we need to make sure we understand that, because this affects our prayers. This is like the foundation of who we see this God, how does he see us? Because if he looks at us like we are his delight, his workmanship, he wants to hear from us. Man, yes. But if we don't think that, if we think, you know, I blew it, you know, good, yeah, I can't talk to God now. No, man, he doesn't care. You know, how often are you going to pray? Not very often. And if we have doubts about his love for us, we're not going to go rush and run to him. We need to. It is extremely important. Do you secretly struggle with obeying him because you think you might miss out on fun in life if you obey the Lord? You know? And if you're completely committed to him, might you miss out on something that the world has to offer? Your answer to these questions will tell you a lot about your perceptions about God. Because remember, what is prayer? Conversation, communication with God, talking, listening. To who? To God. How do you conceive him to be? That will affect our prayers. We, who perceive God to be, whatever that might be, influences how we pray, when we pray, and what we pray. It really does. So what are we to do? We need to discover who this God is, don't we? We certainly do. And last week I was watching a movie, and it's an old movie, a World War II movie. It's called Where Eagles Dare, an old World War II with Clint Eastwood and Richard Burton. It's an old movie. However, I was sitting there watching it, and the thought hit me. It said, Where Eagles Dare, and it said, the thought ran through my mind. What about Where Christians Dare? Where Christians step out, you know? Where Christians at Chester Baptist Church, they dare to believe, they dare to pray to a God who is beyond what they can imagine. They dare to expect, they dare to anticipate, they dare to confess, to repent, to study, to learn, to change, to obey, to love, to encourage, to forgive, to discover. We dare to do it. We long to find out what God has for us. And we need to do that. We need to discover who he is. Because too often I think we take it for granted. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24 says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. God wants us to know him. You know, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Do we know this God? Do we know him? Do we even have a desire to know him? Will we even admit the fact that we don't know him as we need to know him and that we're not seeking him? Will we go that far or that low and admit to it? Or will we continue to go and pretend? And every one of us is on a different level spiritually. Some of us really are quite intimate with the Lord. Some of us are doing a good job, probably pretending we know him more than we do. But we need to seek him. John 17:3 says this, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That we may know him. We need to seek him. Prayer is the native language of faith, one author said. And John Calvin called prayer the chief exercise of faith. If these are so important to who we are, if they are so important to who we are in our life, are we doing it? And who are we praying to? Have we ever thought about it? See, if our perception of God is wrong, if our perception of God is off, our motivation to pray will be affected. If we see him as less than who he is, if we see ourselves as less than how he sees us, well, we're going to be very hesitant to go before the throne of grace. Oh, we'll go when we're in a crisis. We'll go when we're in pain. But will we go on a continual basis? Will we look forward to him? I've said this before. This is a quote from A.W. Tozer. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Very simple, isn't it? One of the most important things about us. He goes on and says, the history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of who this God is. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. You know, I was thinking about this morning while we were worshiping, who do we conceive this God we are worshiping to be? Have we thought about who this God is that we've come before? We want to worship who? Who is he? Does he care? Is he looking at our hearts? Are we seeking to know him? Or are we going through the motions? We all know what it's like, you know? Hallelujah, brother, praise the Lord, he is good, you know? We can say the words, you know, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are what? You know, far from me. This is by way of reminder. He said, for this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most important fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. This will affect our prayer. It truly will. It will affect, because if we see God as this loving, gracious, kind God who has sent his son to die for our sins upon the cross of Calvary and said, come, you are my child, I love you. You need me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So connect yourself with me, abide in me, come to me, talk to me, seek me. And we don't. Why not? What does that say about us? It says something. That's the scary thing. Because, you know, Tozer said, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. So we do have an image. And our prayers will reflect that image. Whether we say it or not, how often, how deep, how intimate, how wonderful, how majestic are the times of our prayer, it reflects our, who do we conceive this God to be? How does he see me? Does he care? And you read the word, and it goes back, how important it is to read the word of God to find out who this God is. As much as humanly possible, we must get an accurate, clear picture of who the creator of the universe is and exactly what he is like. We need to seek. We need to make every effort. And do we? You look at it and you have to say, Lord, I don't make every effort. And that is so hard for us as believers to admit the fact that we are not where we'd like people to think we are. That we are good at putting the old, you know, as I've told some people, you come into a church building and there's two tables. One table is makeup, one table is makeup remover. Which one do you want to go to? You want to put the makeup on, look good, we get the right words, you know? Or the makeup remover, and let's be real. You know, I am not where I need to be. I'm hurting, I'm lonely, I don't get it. You know, I sing these songs, but they seem to fall. They don't seem to hit the heart. What do we want? You know, in Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for water, for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And I think about that and I go, is that true? Does your soul long pant for this God? Do we hunger and thirst? You know, because the next verse says, you know, my soul thirsts for God. Is that true? Because if we did, we would be crying out, my soul thirsts for God. Well, does it? I mean, you can answer it. I answer it myself. Too often my soul isn't thirst. You know, just give me an eyedropper. Don't get a thirst, you know. I can live without water. No, I can't. I can't live without the Lord. Yet we often try to. You know, because until we seek after him, until we know God as he is, we'll never become all that he's created us to be. We'll never get there. And we'll never have a relationship with God. And prayer is going to be pure duty. There's no joy. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, you could look in the bulletin, the three verses I put in there. Look at them. I mean, fine. Be joyful in hope, patient affliction, faithful in prayer. Is that you? Devote yourselves to prayer. Is that me? Then Jesus told disciples in a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. How many times have you given up? Because we could go through verse upon verse about our need to pray. And we could be discipline ourselves. But as one author said, it's not a matter of disciplining yourself. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. When we become prayerless, when we tend not to pray as we need to pray, it's a matter of faith. There's a question there you need to ask yourself. Where am I, Lord, in my walk with you? What do I know about you? Am I growing? Am I seeking? Do I want to? Am I apathetic? Am I going through the motions? Am I saying the right words, but I don't expect you to answer? I don't expect anything to happen. I'll do my part, you know. We'll see what happens, Lord. I mean, we need to ask ourselves, what's happening? You know? God wants us to know him. He's revealed himself to us. Where? Go outside on some night and stand out there and look at the stars. You know? Psalm 19, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. Go look. He's there. Yes. Let's go out there, you know. You'll find him through his word. That's why, you know, we need to read it. You need to not just read it, but you need to meditate on it, reflect on it, look at it, rip it apart. Find out what he's saying to you. Ask him, Lord, show me. It's not just going through the verses. Hey, I read the Bible this year. What'd you learn? I read the Bible this year. What'd you learn? You know, I read the Bible this year. Oh, you know, we checked it off our list. Good for me. I did it. You know, I'm no closer to the Lord than I was when I began, but I have a little more biblical knowledge, you know. No. You need to know it. You'll know God through nature, looking at the wonder he has given to us. You'll know it through his word. He wants us to know him. And you know it through getting to know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to know God. You're not going to know God. You're not going to have any reason to want to pray. So know the Lord. Get him. Know him. A discipline is something, is it simple to do? No. You know we have gotten ruts in life. You know, I remember there's a sign up in Maine that said, you're in the timber country, that said, you know, this was in the spring, winter, the trucks were coming down, loaded down with the timber, and they were leaving ruts. And the sign said, be careful what rut you get into, because you'll be in it for the next 25 miles. Well, that's what we do in life, though, too. We get into a rut of, this is how I'm reading the Bible, this is my understanding of it, this is the way it is. I'm not going to change. Whoa, see, then it goes back to, who is your God? Who do you conceive him to be? He wants to know you. You're his child. He cares. Find out. Because you can hear 1,000 messages. That doesn't mean you're going to change. You need to discover. It's like, you know, here's a shovel. Go start digging and finding out. The treasure is found in the Word of God. And, you know, so what do? I would say four things. One thing is confess to God you're not there. Just confess to God, maybe, Lord, my prayers are just rote. My prayers are just, they don't seem to go anywhere. And I like to give up and throw them out the window. Confess it. Be honest before God. You know, in Psalm 51, David asked God, he says, you know, he said, God desires truth in the inward parts. He desires us to be truthful. So be truthful when we pray. Lord, I don't get it. Start being real. You know, confess your apathy, your laziness, your fear. Confess it. Say, Lord, I'm not where I need to be. Look around at what he created. Marvel at his stars, the planets, the world. Look at it. Begin to wonder and give him thanks and praise. Read the Bible. Ask God to show you, reveal to himself to you through his word. Seek. Make every effort. It's not easy because we're living in this rut of, life is busy. I don't have time for this. We cannot afford not to have time for this. You can't. You can't. And the last thing is, you know, you read the word, you read these, you pray, you ask him to reveal himself, to open the eyes of your heart so you might see and understand. And then there are some books out there you could read. You could read A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. Great book. Or a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. Another deep, great book. And the last one is by this guy named Chip Ingram. He wrote a book called God, As He Longs for You to See Him. Now, you can take these messages, this message, and, you know, basket. Great message. Awful message. I'm not doing anything with the message. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to really ask him to change my heart that I might seek him. That I might really, Lord, because next week I'm going to preach on prayer. This was like the bottom of it. You know, I wanted to, I was just wrestling with it and thinking, okay, yeah, go through the verses. I'm thinking, wait a minute. If we don't know this God, why are we going to pray? If we're not going to seek and discover, show me who you are and let me get into your word and discover it. So I may begin to see and then own it. Say, God, let me really own the fact that these things are who I am. These are all scriptural. You're loved, redeemed, accepted, forgiven. You know, it's like, whoa. It's like we walk around a backpack full of all these doubts and these, wait a minute, just take it off. Lord, we want to be free so we can pray and rejoice and give thanks and be the light in the community that they long to see. They need to see us be the church who has this intimate walk with the Lord. So may we do that, you know. But it's, you know, reality is, it's in your lap. Because no one can make you do it. You know, as I said to the kids in school, I used to say, you can take a horse to water, I mean, but you can't make him drink it, can you? What does that mean? Well, you know what it means. You know, you can have it, but may we learn to do it. Let us pray. Father, this day blindside us in a very healthy, positive, godly way. Blindside us with a desire to know you. I mean, really get to know you. Not to go through motions, not to play games, but to know you. And you know things have got to change, and you know how much we love to change. So I do pray that you give us the courage, the boldness, the longing to know you. To be different, to truly walk with you. So I ask your Holy Spirit to be upon each individual here, that you would draw each of us to you, you would open our eyes to the wonder of who you are, to the wonder of how you think of us, and to the wonder of a relationship with you. Show us that. May we experience the height and depth and width and breadth of the love you have for us in Jesus Christ. And may we want more, Father, for your honor and for your glory. Amen.